Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. This radio program, which is now Satsang, is for Saturday, June the 13th, 2015, and I'm very grateful that you listen. Our mystery donor has made it available to all of us via his generosity and his loving kindness, and I hope you will follow with that by becoming a sponsor of our radio, Satsang, and all of the offerings that we have here on the website at aspire.org. And I want to thank my sponsors and everyone who has made this possible for me to share with you. It is deeply moving, and I am humbly grateful for the chance to be able to speak to you today via their generosity and their loving kindness. And it is only through that that you are listening to this program, this Satsang. I'm very, very happy about it. Let's get to the questions. I get all sorts of different questions about things I have said, either in a commentary, on a TV program, or in these satsangs. And so what I try to do, for those of you who might be new to all of this, is just answer the question. I want you to understand that my answers are not to be considered absolute. I try not to be absolute, but sometimes it sounds like that. Nevertheless, I am giving you insights that have come to me through my many years of being in a practice and just going through the life as I have lived it from the point of inner work meditation. First question comes from Rosie. I love that name. You don't hear many people named Rosie. What do you mean when you talk about spiritual awakening? I don't understand, Rosie. Rosie, your name is beautiful, and I love it. I just want you to know that. Spiritual awakening, what does it mean? That's a very, very good question that most people really couldn't explain, and I probably won't be doing much better than that. The first thing that often happens to us in the effort of maybe achieving some sense of understanding about what it is to have consciousness or what it is to live our life is we have an intellectual understanding. Now, this intellectual understanding is never going to be enough to really live your life in, never. But this is where most of us go. Most of us begin our journey with an intellectual understanding. We're looking for answers. People will say, I'm looking for an answer. But they're not really clear as to what answer they're looking for. Okay? What kind of answer am I looking for? What is the question that I am considering? Now, when it comes to a spiritual path, most people just denigrate that with religion and think, well, he means religious understanding, and I don't. Knowledge can only get you so far. Knowledge is very limited. Knowledge does not take you into the depth, into the clarity of your being. It just doesn't do that. So no matter how much knowledge you might have about anything in a, I'm going to use the word, religious, context, you're not going to find anything within that that is going to awaken you. It just isn't going to happen because intellectual premise, intellectual understanding, intellectual belief, intellectual ideals do not compute with the heart. Now, I'm talking about the real heart. I'm not talking about the emotional human heart. It is good to have a certain exposure to teachings that intellectually maybe a person can accept for a while. But that will never lead to something called what I call spiritual awakening, where I awaken. Everything has, Rosie, many different levels and many, many different means to that level. You understand it here, and then you go a little deeper. You understand it there, and you go a little deeper, and you understand it a little further. And there are consequences, and there are dimensions to all of this that expose the meaning of life within ourselves. Most of us do not incorporate love or consciousness or heart or meditation to develop within ourselves the awakening that you're talking about, well, or that I'm talking about. To awaken to, let's say, you are love, has to go beyond the mental, emotional understanding that most of us are chained to, bound to, through intellectual premise and belief and ideals and all sorts of crazy stuff. We live according to the manner of our mental capacity. So every time you achieve some sort of logic and reasoning to your mental capacity, like you put two and two together and come up with four and think you've scored on that one, you don't understand that two and two, thus make four, doesn't really matter. That's just one part of it. The real question is, why is there a two and another two? And why is four so important? Then another question, is the equation itself, the mathematics of itself, something deeper? Is there something more to it? And if there's something more to two and two make four, and the math and the equation of it all, what is it? And the deeper you go, the more you're going to find the confines of human intellect. Now, one of two things can happen in that human intellect. You can start making it knowledge, making up thoughts and theories about it, and making it appear to be a knowledgeable thing, something you can memorize, something that computes with your intellect. Or you can go a little deeper. You can go a little further. And you can begin to understand the origins of mathematics and how far it goes and where it stops and something else takes over. Now, all of this is realized, believe it or not, not through contemplation, but through meditation. Now, when you move into meditation, which is a scary word for a lot of people, come to find out, I didn't know this, this is how dumb I am, how people shy away from the idea of meditating. It frightens them because they don't believe they're in control of their life. And what they don't seem to understand is we're never in control of our life. Even when we think we're in control, we're never in control of our life. But we like to believe we are. It makes us think that we're doing something fun and whatever. But that is the key. Now, let me give you something on this, Rosie, that, you know, happens to me. I'll have a question or a conflict within me that I am struggling with, really struggling with. And then I'll try to find an answer to it. I'll try to find a meaning to it. I'll try to find something about it that pertains to this, that, and the other. I really will try. And then all of a sudden, I suddenly realize I can't find the answer to it. And I realize that I've made a question out of it, and that's why I can't find the answer. Because the things that are truly meaningful are not black and white in the sense of my thinking. There is color to everything. There is meaning. There is significance. There is relevance. And if I have a question that's not relevant to the state of my mind, I often cast it aside and think it can't be found out. It can't be realized. It can't be anything. There is no answer to it. But sometimes, if you're patient, really patient, all of a sudden you find that you live into the answer. All of a sudden, you realize, oh my goodness, here it is. I have meditated for quite a few years in my day, formally for about 40 years. And in that time, I've been a doofus. I've been a kind of stupid, bumbling around in the dark, tripping over my own feet and missing here, missing there. But one day, through a great milieu of difficulties that I was going through in my life, it all clicked together. All of a sudden, everything, Rosie, that I have ever thought about or ever, you know, wondered about, including my own sanity, all of a sudden, all the doors were unlocked. It was in a meditation that I was moving through. And through all of that, I didn't find answers. I didn't find impulse. Just everything unlocked. That's all I can say. And a flood of energy came to me. Energy that I knew nothing about, that existed within me, exists within you, exists within everything. And it couldn't get through to me because I was blocking it with my knowledge, with what I believed in, with what I thought was true. The minute this happened, I didn't fight with it. For the first time in my life, I didn't fight with it. I just let it come and come and come. And I let Gregory go. And the more I let it come, the more Gregory started to fade away. And this awakening started to happen. There was first a great deal of confusion. Then I went through remorse for the way I have been and lived. And then I went through what I call a transformation. And I saw the bigger picture of everything that I had ever done. It was all about my foolishness, my pride, my vanity, my hubris. Now I don't do that anymore. I don't fight with it anymore. I don't make hubris anymore. I have come to a place where it got very clear what I needed to do with my life. So, Rosie, when I talk about spiritual awakening, I am talking about something that is a process that the human mind cannot follow, that human thought cannot tarnish. And we all have it within us. Whether or not we ever do anything about it or live in that is something else. It is. It's something else. And I don't know if any of that made much sense to you. It probably didn't, but for those of you who know inner work, it makes a lot of sense. I'm sure you understand it very deeply. You begin to see the meaning and the context of what it is to live in loving kindness. And it all boils down to that. If you can live in loving kindness and put others first and you second, you will start to awaken to the very meaning of what it is to have consciousness. And then you will awaken. It's very beautiful. Rosie, forgive me for being maybe so vague about it, but that's the best I can do right now today. And I hope it helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. It's hard to explain something like that. If I were to say to you, right now, which I am, there is so much more within you. There's so much beauty. There's so much love. There's so much grace. There's so much substance in this lifetime that lives within you. It's there for the picking. You wouldn't believe me. And I understand that because I wouldn't have believed me either if I had continued to live the way I was living with in my emotionality and mind. The very things that you think give you meaning and life are the very things that are taking away your meaning and your life. We love what misleads us. Next question comes from Raymond. Why do you believe in reincarnation? I don't, and it can't be proved. Raymond. Oh, Raymond, I don't live for what can be proved. I really don't. I think that, for me, would be counterdiction to the way I have realized my life. So I can't give you any reason that would satisfy you. Whether or not there are scriptures in the Bible that allude to it, I think there are. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. Da-da-da-da, that's what Jesus taught. Alludes to the idea, doesn't specifically say it, because they had no word for it. In the Aramaic, there was no word for reincarnation. You have to understand the limits of language in those days. Buddha talked about it kind of openly, about our next life. He talked about it all the time, actually, and said, in essence, you have to realize that what you plant, what you do now, is going to manifest in your next life, in your next life. He talked very vividly about it. I don't think, Raymond, a person should believe in anything. I don't think you should believe in reincarnation. I don't. Any more than you should believe that there isn't reincarnation, which I don't. I don't believe. I have found that believing in anything just slams the door on what is really happening now. And I don't want to slam the door on what is really happening now. I want my synergy, my energy to expand beyond the small realm of right and wrong, good and bad, believing and unbelieving. I can feel the tentacles of my life reaching deep, deep, deep into the universe and creating in the universe a kind of ugliness that I have manifested for the sake of getting what I wanted and doing the things I thought I should do and can do and would do and all that other horse manure. So I kind of look at my life differently. Raymond, you don't have to believe in reincarnation. I'm in this throes of teaching my students right now about karma, just very basic stuff. They struggle with it, and a lot of them can't believe in reincarnation. I think it's really silly. Whatever we believe in is stupid, whether you believe you go to heaven or hell, or what is more popular now is that when you die, it's over. Lights out, you go nowhere, nothing happens. You just don't exist anymore, which is terribly narcissistic and stupid, in my opinion, but that's my opinion. I think any belief a person has about any form of their life is ridiculous and silly. So I don't believe in any of it, and I don't believe in most of it, and I can't understand any of it that people believe. I just don't go there. I don't really care. What I care about is how I live now. Am I living consciously? Am I living in kindness? Have I found any sense of awareness about the moment I'm in? And do I value every single moment I'm in, looking at every moment for what it is? A blessing, not a curse, not a challenge, not a hope, not a wish. But am I living in each and every moment as a blessing? Because every moment, my dear one, is a blessing. Every single moment is a blessing. There's something in every moment trying to love me and love you and care for me and care for you. And frankly speaking, that's all I really care about is, do I find that moment? Can I get that moment inside me? Can I come to it? Can I be aware of it? Whether or not you believe in reincarnation or not is of no consequence to any part of your life. But to have a small-minded point of view about it, to put anything in the form of a belief inside me and to say, well, I believe in this and I believe in that and I don't believe in this and I don't believe, it's so small-minded, it's so ridiculous, it's so foolish. It doesn't change a single thing about the way we live and who we are. It doesn't change a single thing. And nothing we do matters then. Because everything has to revolve around the smallness of my mind saying, this is what I believe in, this is what I don't believe in. Challenge yourself a little bit. Just don't believe in anything. Believe not. Want not. If you don't want and you don't believe, this is what I have found, then you have a chance to be awakened. You have a chance to see that gap, that pause, that space between your thoughts. You will see things in a different light. You will come to things that you never could come to before, and there will be that spiritual thing, that awakening. It's kind of a what I call a quiet glow inside of me. That's all that matters. Raymond, thank you for your beautiful question. Thank you. You, like many, many, many others that I have talked to, that I work with, even in my workshops and at Mount Madonna in my retreats, have the same question. You know, people will say, I don't know if I believe in reincarnation. I don't care. You know, whether we're aware of it or not, we are subject to the laws we're subject to. And whether you and I believe in them or not matters not a single moment to the laws that exist. Please forgive me. Namaste. People are interesting. They think, I believe. Really? You know what I found out in my life? One of the things, it's very interesting, that everything I have ever thought when I was younger that I believed in has all been proven right and then wrong and then right and then wrong. And then you start to look at it and see how stupid it is to believe in anything. And that's what the mind needs, belief. It's the box it likes to live in. Last question is from Rich. You speak of consequences that people face in their life in your series, Passing Through the Fires. What does this mean, this word consequence, for the things we do? Rich, for everything I do, there is an equal and opposite reaction or consequence for it. Somewhere in my life, opposite of me. For instance, let's say you get vengeful. Let's say you have every reason to be vengeful, to be unkind. And so you decide to fight an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You just decide this is what you're going to do. Because the other person deserves it and you're not going to sit there and just take this crap. Well, there you are. There's going to be a consequence. And let's say you win the consequence. Let's say you go and sue the hell out of them and you make all this money off of them. They have to surrender money to you, or you win an argument, something. There's a consequence for all of that. You don't maybe see it here, but the tentacles are running deep, deep, deep into life. And one way or another, in some way or another, all of this is going to come back to you. All of this is going to come and strike you in one way or another. And you're going to look at your life very differently. And all of a sudden, you're going to think, why did this happen to me? I didn't do anything. It'll happen in an area of your life, maybe years down the road or whatever. And you won't be able to connect the dots. You would never connect the dots. You wouldn't think, well, what I did there caused here. But the more striking pose of all of this is when I do something and it blocks my ability to accept love, real love, to accept the vibration of consciousness, of loving goodness. I just can't accept it. I don't know why I can't accept it. I've done so many ugly things out of self-righteousness and narcissism that I just can't accept anything loving and kind from within. So I go to the outside and I look for people to love me and care for me and be kind to me to compensate for what I can't give myself on the inside, what I can't receive. And now I'm in real trouble because everything has to come from the outside, not from within. So I'm not self-contained. I am dependent upon other people to keep me afloat in this world, to help me survive. And that's the way I live. Living in this way causes terrible things to happen within me. And the worst thing that can happen, I think, to a lot of us is where we have to live dependent upon other people for our happiness and love. And that's where the real pain and suffering occurs. So, Rich, there are consequences for everything I do in my life. And if you're a wise person, which I hope you are, I will consider you a wise person, you will understand that. And only live those things, only give those things that you want to receive back in your own life. Something for you to consider. Thank you for listening. Please forgive me. Namaste. I want to thank my sponsors. I want to thank my mystery donor. And I want to thank the people who were kind enough to offer questions for today's program. I am deeply, humbly grateful. Have a wonderful day. And please forgive me, eh? Namaste. Namaste.